Welcome back to this special presentation from the Southern Baptist Convention 2015, A Call to Prayer. Next, Vance Pittman, Senior Pastor, Hope Church of Las Vegas, spoke to the convention crowd about its time for the next great awakening in America.
I have read about revival and awakening. When God first called my family to Las Vegas, Nevada, somebody at our sending church, a little godly prayer warrior, a little Jewish lady who'd become a follower of Jesus, put a book in my hand about the Welch Revival and Evan Roberts. And I read with just fascination the story of a move of God in 1904 and 1905, where 100,000 people in Wales in 1 year came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It moved me so much that my wife and I, a year later, went and visited Wales. And I stood there in the pulpit where Evan Roberts preached in Lahore and just asked God to move like that again. I've read the story that you saw in the video about Jeremiah Lamphere and the Fulton Street Revival and the Third Great Awakening in the United States, where over 1 million people came to know Jesus Christ. I've read about revival and awakening. I've heard about it. In our contemporary world, I hope you've heard that in China right now, 40,000 people a day are trusting Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. God is moving in China. We have a Persian church planter on our team in Las Vegas that's going to plant a church to reach Persian-speaking peoples in the western United States. And he told me recently that 500 people a day are coming to know Jesus Christ in the country of Iran. 500 people a day. I've heard about revival. I've read about it. And I've heard about it. But I have never experienced that kind of an awakening where I live. And I don't know where you are tonight, but I am hungry to not just read about it and not just hear about it, but to experience a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God on our nation like we have never witnessed before. And may God do that in such a way that no denomination or no church gets any credit, but may God move in such a way that we all have to step back and say, that is only a movement of a sovereign, holy God. But here's what I'm convinced of. We talk about it, and we look out at our society and we say that the reason we're not having revival is in Washington, or the reason that we're not having revival is in Hollywood, or the reason that we're not having revival is in the inner cities of our country. But remember that the Word of God says, if my people will, then I will. The problem in America is not the lostness of America. The problem in America is the lack of desperation among the people of God. When we get desperate, in 1 Timothy, Paul writes to Timothy and he tells him about God's heart. He says God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. He tells him about God's provision, that God, there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. He tells him about God's plan. Paul says he's appointed me and others to be a spokesperson to tell this story. But here's what's interesting about all of that. That great description of the heart of God and the provision of God and the plan of God is sandwiched in between Verse 1 and verse 8 of 1 Timothy chapter 2. And both of them are exhortations to pray. I can't explain what I'm about to say, but I believe it to be true. God in His sovereignty has chosen to limit His activity to the prayers of His people. God didn't need to do it that way, but God in His sovereignty chose to do it that way. We need God in America. And until we get desperate for God, we will not see that move. Let's pray.
J.D. Greer, lead pastor of Summit Church in Durham, North Carolina, reminded the convention, it's time to reach the world for Christ.
We turn our attention now to 2.1 billion people in the world who have yet to hear about salvation in the name of Jesus. That's not a statistic. These are individuals who are made in the image of God, just like you and I are, who know what it's like to be lonely, know what it's like to feel fear, know what it's like to be in pain, for whom going to hell would be every bit the tragedy that it would be for you or me or our children. They are gathered into 6,400 unreached people groups, 3,700 of which are unengaged. Our Lord has promised that not one of the tribes and tongues will fail to be represented around His throne one day, singing, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." And we go because we believe that promise. And we pray because He commanded us to. Ask of Me and I will give you the nations as your inheritance. The Lord's arm is not shortened that it cannot save. His ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. It means that our God is no less compassionate today than He was when He looked down from the cross and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And He's no less powerful today than when He said to Lazarus in the grave, "Lazarus, come forth." It is our sin, Isaiah says, our sin that has separated us from the power of God. Psalm 126, the psalmist instructs us how to pray for global missions. Verse 4, "Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out with weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come with shouts of joy, bearing his sheaves, bringing his sheaves with him." Derek Kidner, the Old Testament scholar, says there are two different ways that the psalmist identifies God brings the harvest. Imagine a soil, he says, so arid that you have to plant each seed one by one and then water it with your tears. This is the normal hard work of evangelism. It's what missionaries do as they go out. It is painstaking. It takes prayer and faith and courage and patience. Kidner says, but there is another way. It is in verse 4, the streams of the Negev. The Negev was a desert region where occasionally there would be a torrential downpour, and in the space of a few days, there would be a lush green carpet of foliage where previously there had been a desert. And Kidner says, there is your other way. When God opens up heaven and He accomplishes in a few moments what would take a lifetime to accomplish. Jonathan Edwards said, this is what happened in the Great Awakening. We were using the normal means of grace, preaching and praying and worshiping and confessing, when God suddenly opened up heaven and began to pour out the streams of the Negev. It instructs us how to pray. We must never give up on the patience and the courage of the hard work of evangelism, but we must also never give up yearning that God can open up the streams of the Negev and He can do in a moment what would take us a lifetime to accomplish. Do you believe that our God can do that in our generation? His arm is not shortened that it cannot save. His ear is not heavy that it can't hear. It is our sin of unbelief that has separated us from the power of God. The prophet Amos rebuked the people of Israel in his day with a somewhat of a strange rebuke. He said, "Do not seek me at Bethel or Gilgal or Beersheba." Three random cities to us, but to the Israelites, it represented three places where heaven had intersected with earth. Bethel, for example, is where God had appeared to Jacob. Gilgal, Beersheba had similar meaning to them. And God says, would you stop seeking me at Gilgal, Bethel, and Beersheba? Seek me now and live. In other words, I'm not a God who moved yesterday. I'm a God who will move today and tomorrow. I'm not a God of the past. I'm a God of the present. I am a God of the future. We as Southern Baptists love to talk about the Great Awakenings. We love to talk about the early church. We love to talk about the Reformation. And it might be that God says to us, will you stop talking about the Reformation and about the early church and about the Great Awakening? Because I am not a God who just moved yesterday. With 6,400 unreached people groups, I am a God who will move today. And the greatest works of our God, based on the finished work of Christ, are not behind us. They are ahead of us. It is our sin of unbelief that separates us from the compassion and the power of God. Let us bow our heads, let us pray, and let us believe that God will do the impossible today and that God will do it tomorrow.
And Lord, I'm so grateful that you've heard your people pray. In Jesus' name, hear us tonight in these final moments. I want you to look this way for a moment. In about 12 minutes from now, we will dismiss you. But this last 10 minutes, we're going to pray for the persecuted church around the world. But before we do that, I want to ask every pastor, go home and lead your people to pray on a Sunday morning, giving the entire Sunday morning to prayer. You say, Pastor Ronnie, if I announce that, nobody will come. Well, we've announced it right here, and look who's here. And look at the doors God has opened around the world. You say, well, I'm not sure they'll still come. Just don't tell them you're going to pray. You've seen it modeled tonight. You say, I don't know if I can do it. Yes, you can. We'll make everything available online tonight. What we've done, just go home. Lead your people to prayer. No great movement of God ever occurs that is not first preceded by the extraordinary prayer of God's people. The sad commentary on the church today, we spend more time preparing for the way we give promotions and announcements than we do for prayer. May God change it after tonight. This is an urgent moment. An urgent moment tonight to pray for the persecuted church all across the world. I want you to listen to God's word tonight. What a powerful word it is in Psalm 3. Lord, how my foes increase. There are many who attack me. Many say about me, there is no help for him in God. But you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. We cry out to the Lord tonight, and we pray that he will answer us from his holy mountain. I lie down and sleep. I wake up again because the Lord sustains me. I am not afraid of the thousands of people who have taken their stand against me on every side. Rise up, Lord. Save me, my God. You strike out all my enemies on the cheek, and you break the teeth of the wicked. And we declare to every person who persecutes any of the followers of Jesus Christ around the world that salvation belongs to the Lord. And may God's blessing be on his people. And we come together tonight in the name of Jesus for our persecuted brothers and sisters in the Lord. Thousands and thousands of us cry out, and we join in agreement tonight. Lord, cover our brothers and our sisters. Some right now, by the millions, have been displaced from their homes. Thousands and thousands have been beheaded. Some crucified, from children all the way to adults. Some sold into human trafficking. Some held in prison today. And we stand on the word tonight that greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. And we stand against every evil in Jesus' name. We thank you that the power of God is not intimidated by one radical group in this world, nor are you intimidated by the governments of this world. For you are King of Kings and you are Lord of Lords, and we pray tonight that you would set your people free for the glory of God the Father. And if there are to be some to be called the high purpose of dying for their faith, give them strength. Help them, as we said this morning, to hold fast to the word and to not deny Jesus' name. And tonight, we appeal again this year for our brother in Christ that all of us have heard from his wife now, Nagme Abedini. We pray for Saeed tonight because he represents so many we don't even know their names. But we pray tonight and we plead with you, Father. Give him strength as he is being abused. Give him strength as he's being persecuted. And Lord, you opened up the prison doors in the New Testament, and you can do it again. God, let him go. Set him free. And I pray for every man just like him and every woman just like him that we don't know their names. But God, be their shield. Be their shield. And cover their families, like Nagme, who's back here with those little kids. They don't understand where daddy is. They're learning. But God, do a miracle. And I pray we will be faithful in America, because we don't know what faces us, but we know who holds our hand. And tonight, We declare before we go home that you will touch your persecuted church and that they will become a testimony to the power and the glory of Jesus Christ our Lord. And that tonight you will be their shield. And we offer this tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. And we declare in praise in this final 3 or 4 minutes that you, O Lord, are a shield for us. Oh, let's worship Him tonight. Declare it, church. All of you watching on television, declare it. You're watching on radio or the web, declare it. In this auditorium, declare it. And you keep in your mind tonight the persecuted church of the world. We're begging God for them. Come on, sing it, church.
At the end of this powerful evening, I had the opportunity to speak briefly with Dr. Ronnie Floyd, president of the Southern Baptist Convention, about his thoughts on the evening.
We're talking with Dr. Ronnie Floyd, president of the Southern Baptist Convention. We just finished an unbelievable prayer service. Dr. Floyd, is this what you were asking God for tonight?
It was exactly what I asked the Lord for, but it was just exceedingly abundantly about all that we ask or think. We were talking on the platform here. We've never seen anything like this in our history.
This was historic.
It was.
As far as we know, this never happened at a Southern Baptist Convention.
The Lord just in this magnitude.
Yeah,
the Lord just literally fell on the night.
Yeah, amen.
And there were thousands of people in here, and nobody left.
But you know, when I heard you were having a prayer service for this night, I wondered how many would show up. Boy, did God show up,
and so did
His people.
He did. I'm so proud of them.
The people listening to this broadcast over the Salem Radio Network, what do you want them to take with them?
I want them to get just some of the fire, some of the power that we were able to share and God shared with us tonight. That they'll get a vision, regardless of what their denomination may be, regardless of what their church may be. Take it to your church, and let's start a prayer revival that'll change America and reach the world with the gospel.
Dr. Ronnie Floyd, president of the Southern Baptist Convention, thank you. It was a wonderful, incredible, powerful evening. God bless you.
Thank you. Praise the Lord.
Thank you for joining us for this very special presentation. And certainly all of us at Salem Media Group want to express our deepest appreciation to the Southern Baptist Convention for granting us permission to air this historic evening. And indeed, it was historic. To our knowledge, it is the first time that an entire evening of the Southern Baptist Convention was devoted solely to prayer. And I want to personally thank all of you for taking time to be challenged to pray by listening to this program. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 ignores the pagan world. When those words were written, God's people were completely surrounded by pagan nations, and yet God ignores them and says, "If my people, which are called by my name," and then He challenges them to repent, to turn from their wickedness. And if they would do that, God promised that He would hear from heaven and heal their land. The key to revival is prayer and repentance among God's people, which is exactly what this entire evening was about. The purpose of broadcasting this event goes far beyond the Southern Baptist Convention. To every Christian, to every family, to every church, to every denomination. And the message is this: God answers prayer. It is our desire that this special presentation will draw you, yours, your family, your church, to a concerted, fervent time of prayer, repentance, and the expectation of revival, because God does answer prayer. This is Bob Burney. Thank you so much for listening.
A national call for prayer for the next great awakening and to reach the world for Christ was a partnership between the Southern Baptist Convention and Salem Media Group. It was recorded on Tuesday, June 16th, 2015 at the Greater Columbus Convention Center in Columbus, Ohio.